The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it? I don't want you to miss that. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it? Now, the Bible's not saying that faithful men or women cannot be found. The Bible's just saying it's very rare to find them. It's like a Proverb 31 woman. A virtuous woman who can find, for her price is above rubies. Once again, it's not that saying that she can't be found. It's very rare to find a virtuous woman. And notice her price is far above rubies. This woman can't be bought. She's made by the hand of God, because she fears the Lord. I want to challenge you not to be a statistic, not to just come up here and say your vows and then 2 years, 3 years down the track, forget about them. I want to encourage you to be a good testimony that your walk talks more than your talk talks, that you live out what you pledge one to another. You're not going to be someone that promises something and then turns around and goes against your word. You don't want to be that. I want to give you three things just quickly before you say your vows together. In order for you to have a marriage that is enriched, honoring to God, good testimony, and not be a statistic, first of all, be true to your vows. They're sacred before God. These vows that you're making one to another are before God. Not just these witnesses over here, but they're before God. And if there's anything that's going to help you throughout your marriage, it's remembering that your promises are made before a holy God. They're sacred. This is an institution or governed by God, not man. God put this thing together. This idea wasn't made by man. And let me just stop and say this. No one has a right to redefine marriage. No one. Not our government, not our feelings, nobody. One man, one woman for life. It's how God ordained it. But when you come and you pledge your vows over here, in a moment you'll do that. You want to make sure that your words are true. They're not just goodness proclaimed. Every man proclaimeth their own goodness. They come, they say their vows, and they look each other in the eyes and say, I love you to death do us part. And they have one argument. And that's it. No. No. Be true to your sacred vows. Be true to your commitments that you make one to another. And not only this, but be true to God. When you make your vows, that's what you're doing. You're being true to God. You know what God says in Ecclesiastes? He says, don't vow a vow if you're not going to keep it. Don't promise. You know what happens if you don't keep your vows? God says, I have no pleasure in you. And he actually even bumps it up a little bit. He says, I have no pleasure in fools. Someone that goes against their word or against God in promising and not keeping and not walking and not following through is a fool, and God has no pleasure. Second of all, as Paul writes, you're just a noise. Paul says that if I can speak in the tongues of angels and of men and have not charity or love, I'm but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If you say these vows to one another and not willing to live them out, you're just a noise. We don't want to be noises. Amen. We don't want to be just a beautiful, even sweet instrument and then live our life and our marriage bitter. That's how people live. Over here, they spend their time and their energy and money and talent. And I'm saying it's wrong. And then 3 years, a few years down the track, it's finished. Don't do that. Don't proclaim your own goodness and then go against your word. Walking in such a way where I'm not true to my vows, just a noise to God. I'm just proclaiming my own goodness. And I'll love you and cherish you and honor you. And so, good. They're good words. But it's just a noise. That's all it is. Just a noise. Don't let these vows be a noise in your life. Remember this. Remember your sacred vows. But not only this, if you want to have a faithful marriage, not only stay true to your sacred vows, but stay true to your scriptural roles. Samuel, you've been given the greatest responsibility by God. You say, what's that? To provide for my wife? Yeah, that's great, but it's not the greatest. You say, what's that? It's to lead my wife and make the decisions? That's great, but that's not the greatest. So what is it? The greatest responsibility that God has given you is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. So how do you do that? We just heard it. That's not like any other love you see. You've got big shoes to fill, my friend. But God has given you the power to do it. He's given you the Holy Spirit of God, which is the first fruit of the Spirit, is love. You can do it by His help. Never gives you a command without giving you the ability to fulfill it. Remember that. God will give you the ability to fulfill every command He commands you to do. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. This is not a sloppy kind of love. This is a sacrificial love and it's selfless. Whether she submits to you or whether she don't. Whether you feel like it, whether you don't feel like it. You lay down your life for her. You love her. You know, John the Apostle says, let us not love in word, but in deed and in truth. Indeed. Action. See, love is an action. It's not just feelings. Feelings are good, but they follow. And sometimes you don't feel like it. Because we're sinners. Sometimes we get in the flesh. But that's a good indication. It says get right living in the Spirit and love her because you've committed. Stay true to your God-given role. Love her. Sally, you've also been given a role, and that's to submit to your husband. And this is a picture of a church that have been redeemed, saved by the blood of the Lamb, submitting to Christ. And submission is something that perhaps is used in a negative way today and people take advantage of it, but it ought not to be so. You ought to submit to Him by following Him, not challenging Him. Remember this if you can. Submission is not competition. You're not here to compete with your husband, you're here to complete your husband. You're a helpmeet, not a hurtmeet. You're here to help him. Be all that what God has called him to be in leading the home. And that doesn't mean you challenge him, even when your opinions conflict, and they will, by the way. You're going to have conflict opinions. That doesn't mean your opinion is not valid, but there is going to be times where his opinion is going to differ from yours. It kind of did when we put this bulletin together, didn't it? I'll use it as an illustration. That Sam and Sally were on the top, and then I put Sam and Sally down the bottom and the verse on the top. My wife said she likes the Sam and Sally down the bottom. I said, I like Sam and Sally at the top. Well, I sent it to them and Sam said, I like the Sam and Sally on the top, and Sally said, I like the Sam and Sally down the bottom. Sally said, do what Sam wants. That's a blessing. That's at the end of the day, by the way, you say he could have let her have what she wants, and that's love. Yes, but it doesn't have to always be that way. That's a leader. He can lead. He has a right to lead. God has given him that opportunity to lead, but lead with love and submit as unto Christ. One day, you're not going to feel loved by him and feel neglected. He's not Jesus Christ. He's going to fail. You're going to understand that. But let me say this to you. There's one that you submit to all the time, and God wants you to submit to him as unto the Lord. And by the way, that will heap coals of fire upon his head. I'm telling you. Your meek and quiet spirit will shake him up. Don't be aggressive. Don't be stubborn. Because the Bible says it's better to be a proverb 31 woman that will do good and not evil all the days of his life. Don't be a Proverb 21 woman. It's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Don't be that Proverb 21. That you make him feel sometimes is better to sleep outside or upstairs or on the roof where it's cold and lonely place. No, you make him feel in such a way that he's loved and respected and honoured. Don't belittle him. And you don't speak to her in such a way where you feel that you need to control her, because you're not a dictator, you're a leader, you lead by love. Jesus girded himself. Listen, just because a lady is the weaker vessel and has been given a different responsibility, it does not mean that they are second-class citizens. The Bible says they are weaker vessels, that we ought to honour them. If you don't honour her, guess what happens? Your prayers are hindered. If you're not right with her, then you're not right with God. I'm sorry, my friend. Always remember that. You can preach, you can go out soul winning, you can be doing Bible Institute, but if you're not loving your wife, all that is vain. The Bible says your prayers are hindered. Mark it down. If you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, then you're not right with God. Don't be a statistic. Don't hit and miss. 1 week you're going good, you're loving her, and you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Next week you just don't feel like it, you drop the ball. No, if you drop the ball, get back up again. If you drop the ball, get back up again. Don't hit and miss. We're going to fail, but we learn and we grow. You're supposed to dwell according to knowledge. I'm supposed to learn and grow what pleases my wife and love her. And it's a growing process, so there's room for growth. But don't hit and miss. Don't be sick and tired of it. Sacrifice and keep moving forward with it. Because if you don't, you go up and down. This is how Christians are in their walk with God. They're up and down. They're not consistent. They're hit and miss. Don't hit and miss. A just man falls how many times? But he gets up again and he keeps moving. Stay true to your sacred vows. Stay true to your scriptural roles. One more, last one, we're done. This is the biggest one. Stay true to the Savior. As you look to Christ and you look to Christ and your eyes are on him, I guarantee you, he'll bring you together and he'll make your marriage stronger. You won't need to be a statistic. When I married my wife, I remember, you know, we were kind of, you could tell that we were newlyweds. And I remember someone at church said vocally and publicly in front of others, I'll give you 2 years. 2 years? Wow. They've already had in their heart and mind expecting us to fail, because marriages are failing. But don't be a statistic. We're coming to 9 years and my wife has 6 children, and we're falling in love even more. I said to her, it's like we're newlyweds, aren't we? She said, but more, because we know more about each other. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of that. Why should you be ashamed of that, falling in love with your wife? That's a picture of Christ in the church. But Christ has to be in the center. You take your eyes off the Lord, you're done. If Christ is not in the center of your marriage and your heart and your home, you're finished. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, so many marriages are failing today because Christ is not in the center. Yeah, they're doing their religious stuff. They go to church and they do what they know they should do, but they don't have a vibrant relationship with God. They've gone lukewarm. They're not hot like they used to be. Their relationship with Christ is not what it used to be, and that will reflect on your marriage. So I beg you, keep Christ first in your life. Don't put her first. Put Christ first. Don't put him first. Put Christ first. Christ is your rock, not him. And if you put Christ first, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you grace to keep your sacred vows, and he's going to give you grace to stay true to your scriptural roles. You can have a growing marriage. Just grow and grow and grow. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't. So what's the key? Christ first. And you'll stay true to these sacred vows.